What is up, family? Welcome to Speak, a absolutely action-packed show we got for y'all today, because there's a lot going on in the sports world that you may have missed. Even greater than social media, what's going on behind me. Joe Burrow, he threw in practice for the first time since the wrist surgery. Huge deal for one of the best quarterbacks in all of football. But transitioning to the basketball world, the Lakers are once again searching all over for a new head coach. But family, is it a good job? They rotate coaches every single other year. And then speaking of rotation, the Dallas Cowboys, they've yet to commit to Dak Prescott. But Stephen Jones, executive, he simply says he trusts and believes Dak can get it done. I trust and believe this show can get it done. Far and Slick, Rick DeVue. Why are you looking at me like that, Slick?
It's not you. Shane just brought something up right before the show. It's got me a little worried.
Should we bring it to television?
Let's do a little more investigation and we'll get back.
More investigation,
I don't want any
family.
Investigation. No.
More investigation. This looks right. The brilliant Joy Taylor. Joy is vetoing the investigation. Dave Hillman, what's the word, man?
Keep it where it was.
Keeping it off the air. Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy.
They investigate. It's gonna be lit, though.
Shady's word for it.
I promise we will bring the outside joke inside or the inside joke outside momentarily. But let's talk about the T-Wolves, shall we? Because it got crazy yesterday. T-Wolves, Nuggets, game two. What was going to go down? You know the Nuggets had to get a W, but could they get it done at home? No, they could not. The T-Wolves once again gave them that work. Ant-Man, 27 points. Cat, 27 points. And another dominating victory by the Timberwolves in the Nuggets' house. T-Wolves are now up 2-0. But there was a lot of drama going on because Jamal Murray, during the course of that game, looked like threw a heating pack from his seat onto the court, didn't hit anybody, nobody got hurt. But nonetheless, that kind of action, it does not go without repercussion. 2-5, you played professional sports for a mighty long time at the highest of levels. You think Jamal Murray should be suspended?
No. Right, and during a game, things happen. It gets heated, you're losing, you're the favorite, and you're upset. I mean, I seen guys throw towels. I seen all these type of things. He should get a fine, right? That's probably right. Get a fine. Don't do it again. We in the playoffs. We don't want to suspend the kid. We don't want to miss games in the playoffs. They're already down 0-2, and it's the Nuggets, the favorite. So, no, I don't want to make this thing about the refs or about Jamal being upset about the way he's playing or where they're losing the game. If something happened and he threw that out there, the heat pad, and somebody slipped on and hurt their ankle and they're hurt like that, okay, let's take it that way. But nothing happened. Let's not be so soft.
Ooh.
Nothing happened, please. And I'm trying to say that, so I'm trying to put that in your mind. Let's not be soft about this, all right? Get a little fun. Let's keep it moving.
We've heard the perspective of the former pro athlete. Let's hear from the journalist. Slick Rick, you've covered the game for a mighty long time. I assume you will have a vastly different perspective.
He's tough. So I know he's going to say something because he's tough.
Why are you putting me in that position? Because now it's the journalist. He wants to take advantage. Put the athlete in a bad spot. Yes, he should be suspended. We can't be throwing things on the floor. By the way, he threw a towel. It wasn't the first thing he threw. Yeah. Threw a towel. It didn't get there. Then he throws the hot water pack. Do I want to see anything happen to him? No. But did anything happen? No. But he took the risk of something happening. And things are heated.
Pun intended?
He could have, not intended in this case. Look, I don't want to see him suspended for game three.
Thanks.
Because of the competitive effect that it has on the series. But Jamal Murray lost his composure. Mm-hmm. We can't just be throwing things because we're 3-for-18 and we're the defending champions and we're getting it handed to us and he can't get his shot off against anybody. That's not rationale for now I'm going to act out. And what I wish had happened was that the refs had seen it, knew who did it, and threw him out of that game because he wasn't going to do anything for him in that game anyway. And then the penalty would have been served. And we wouldn't have to go to this.
Joy, now we got to go somewhere, though. So what should the penalty be? Should he be suspended?
No, he should not be suspended. Nothing happens. It didn't even really get to the court. it got to the
I can't
the
believe
court.
This.
It got close
really
to the
can't.
Court. Suspended? Like he didn't throw
Again.
It. He didn't throw
not
it in
indefinite.
Someone's face. If he threw it and it hit someone or he threw it on the actual court, like he threw it at the court. We're being a little hyperbolic here, right?
Like it went onto the court.
It was on the hardwood.
Yes.
Yeah, like
it slid all the way.
It slid all the way to the free throw line.
Okay. All right. Well, nothing happened. So I think he deserves a very healthy fine. I teach you a lesson, fine.
Okay. If I'm driving recklessly, right? But I don't actually cause an accident.
Yeah.
All right. Am I capable of getting a ticket?
Sure.
And I hate to go to
people give warnings all the time.
Let's say I've had a few. And I actually don't.
Okay,
had a few.
We're getting a little crazy here. He threw a towel. He didn't throw a hard bottle. He didn't throw acid. He threw a towel on the court.
Like, but I guess
I understand the principle of it. Yes, he lost his composure, and I absolutely think he should be fined. I think it should be a healthy fine, as to discourage him not to do it again. But we're getting a little crazy.
I guess my question, though, Slick, to let's dole it down a bit, while still trying to make the same point. Do we punish based on outcome, or do we punish based on action?
Right.
Because the outcome, nothing bad happened, right? Oh, but nothing bad happened. But the action was still something bad could have happened. So I'm not one to punish based on outcome. I'm one to punish based on action. I don't think he should be suspended. But it's tough because when I hear what y'all are saying, I don't know if any suspension joy to athletes making $200 million, at least what we've seen and what we've heard from different athletes.
A fine, excuse me,
to athletes making $200+ million. I don't know if there's a fine.
$100,000 fine is not enough.
To me, no, only because I remember when Draymond Green got fined his $50,000, $100,000.
Draymond is like an outlier, right? Draymond did eventually get to a point where we started getting suspended for things. Mm-hmm. Is this Jamal Murray's character, or was he out of character?
I think out of character.
Okay, so he's out of character. He threw a towel. That didn't get on the court. The other one got on the court. Nothing happens. Give him a healthy fine. Give him a $250,000 fine. I don't know. Give him a healthy fine so he doesn't do this again. This is not the story of the night. Like, the reason why he threw the towel is because of how badly they are playing and how specifically badly he was playing. Mm-hmm. I just, and to be clear, to Slick's point, the refs did nothing about this. The refs didn't have any control of this game to begin with.
Yep.
You got Mike Malone in the middle of the court throwing in a ref's face and doesn't even get a technical.
Yeah.
Like, this is completely unserious. It's an unserious game from start to finish as far as the referees go. So now, in hindsight, now we want to suspend a player. There's the video where it's out on the court. Okay, nothing happens. There's drinks that get spilled on the court. Like, I'm not saying that we shouldn't protect players and this is the right behavior. I'm just saying everyone just take a big, deep breath. And maybe the refs should be responsible for the tone of the game at some point also.
Because if
Mike Malone is running out into the middle of the court screaming and flipping out and you do nothing about it, what do you expect me to say now that Murray is acting this way, that he's supposed to get suspended? Like, it's just not serious.
That's the strongest point. Because you can't retroactively try to adjudicate a game differently than it was being adjudicated in the moment. That game, everything was fine. I mean, Mike Malone literally should have got ejected. He's sitting there nose to nose, cussing the ref out. Not even a T. Nothing.
Two wrongs do make a right.
No, but you can't retroactively try to judge based upon what was going down.
For the tone of the game. Like, isn't that their responsibility?
I'm not judging on the tone of the game. I'm judging on the fact that he threw something on the court. And if a fan did that, it could be a paper airplane.
But you have the reason.
And they will kick that fan out of the building.
To me, the reason you have to judge is because rules like this are subjective. They're not objective. There is not an objective rule that says technical fouls aren't objective as it pertains to the ref and cussing and yelling and different things. So this is subjective. So based upon what was happening and subjectively in the game yesterday, everything was flying, not literally, but figuratively speaking and literally. So how can you now try to use a different levy based upon the game was a free game?
But we're not saying that Mike Malone shouldn't have gotten a technical. We're not saying that there shouldn't have been penalties for the behavior of the Denver Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is there weren't penalties for the Denver Nuggets. And so as a result of nobody being penalized, well, then we can't retroactively go back and look and say the referees missed what Jamal Murray did, which to me is still different. It's subjective when a guy, and we've seen it all the time, we see it with Draymond. Like, Draymond will yell at a referee and we're thinking, why isn't he getting teed up?
Right?
Because we don't know exactly what is being said and how it's being said. And the same would apply when it comes to Mike Malone and his interaction with Mark Davis. But we know exactly what Jamal Murray did. He threw a hot water pack that ended up sliding onto the court. I don't think it was intentional.
Of course.
But we're not going to judge intent. Threw a hot water pack onto the floor while action was going on. So if you don't penalize this to the point that guys don't do it again, then what are the chances that the next time You know what? I'm upset. I don't like the way the game's going. We're down by 30. You know what? I'll take $100,000 and throw something out on the floor.
I just feel like I'm sitting on a desk with a whole bunch of cops. Like, oh my, it's a basketball game, man. My God. It's like it's somebody jaywalking. You gonna call the cops for that? You just call the cops for everything. Guys in the red shirt, jaywalking. Like, it's a basketball game. He got mad, threw stuff on the court.
When was the last time you saw somebody throw something
on
the
court? That's crazy. Like,
this isn't jaywalking.
It's like when Draymond Green, right, y'all spoke about your different opinions. I respected it, right? Because Draymond got carried away.
Yep.
This right here, I mean, did anything happen, Slick?
But all of that makes more sense. We see players and coaches get into referees' faces all the time.
Okay.
Like, that happens all the time. How often do you see somebody throwing something on the court?
He wasn't in his face. He walked into the middle of the court and almost
wild.
That was an outlier in itself. I guess what I'm saying is, if that's going to be the tone of the game, then I'm not terribly surprised that Jamal did this not once but twice. But also, set the tone of the game as the referees. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the point of them being there? Have some responsibility for what's going on. This should have not even been a situation.
Let's get to the game, because that was the most important storyline.
I'm thinking referees. I'm thankful that y'all just start just throwing people out the game and giving them technicals. Thank you. We want to watch the playoffs. We want to take the refs out of it.
Yep.
We want the players to play. So I don't want y'all to keep thinking
by something. You know,
by a towel.
You should have had control over the game. Called the game.
Let's talk about the game, family. That the refs called, however they did call. Ultimately, the call was that the T-Wolves won again in convincing fashion. Shady, the Nuggets are down 2-0. The Nuggets had home court advantage. You told me 2 weeks ago the series does not start until the away team wins one. Well, the away team is now 1-2. So this series has long begun. Is it time for the Nuggets to panic?
No, they should panic, right? Not the first game, but really this game. And not only are you losing, you getting handled,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the Timberwolves right now, they're just a better team, right? I looked at the matchups. You automatically say, okay, they got Denver is the better team. They've been playing together longer. The chemistry, right? Good coaching. And then you look at Jokic, he's the best player in the league. He hasn't been the best player on the court.
True.
Right? And if you watch the way that the Timberwolves is playing, they playing, before you talk about any offense, let's go straight defense.
Talk about it.
They match up so well. We all talk about, they got these seven-footers. Cool. Well, one of them didn't play, right? And shout out to him for Rudy had his son, daughter, yep. right? That's all good. So give him a shout out. But as a defense, they switching on everything. Jaden, what's his name?
Hold
on, McDaniels. Oh my God. He should be MVP. Jaden McDaniels has been locking up, right?
Yep.
Not this, only this series, last series.
Yep.
You had to go against Kevin Durant. And it's funny when Ant-Man talked about having him on the team, right? And he said, well, they got KD. Well, we got McDaniels. What's up? And everybody kind of laughed about it.
Yeah.
But do you watch him play? He's playing straight defense.
Yeah.
Then you look at Ant-Man. They switch on everything. They can guard. Then you go down to Jokic. The game plan they have for these boys, they playing good defense, and they're running up and down the court. They look faster. They look more explosive. And they look tougher. I haven't seen many teams look more tougher than the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not even talking about physically. Mentally. Mm. They've taken Jamal Murray out the game. I seen him struggle last series against the Lakers. And I was like, well, maybe it was a good game plan by Ham, right, in the Lakers, whatever. And, you know, and late in the game, he turned it on. Well, when you watch him against the Wolves, it ain't that. It's strictly defense. And they're running these boys out the gym. So I got to give a lot of credit to them boys. And also Reed. Man, 6 minutes a year for a reason. He's showing it.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And then, hold on, then the last point, oh my God, I cannot forget the baby MJ, right? This is the funny thing, is like when you look at like an offensive team, right? I love what they're doing in Minnesota, right? Because it was going through Carl Anthony Towns for a long time.
Yeah.
Now that he's the number one, number two option, and Ant-Man's number one, they can't lose. Man, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. What can he do? He's shooting threes, he going to post. You know, real quick, Kobe Bryant, and there was Phil Jackson was comparing Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan. Because I'm just going off now. I'm just thinking because I was watching the game. I'm so excited. Real quick. And he was saying, like, what makes Jordan so much better, right? And he didn't go to, like, the attributes. But he said, physique-wise, built-wise, he said, well, Michael was so much stronger, mm-hmm. right? So KCP's a really good defender. But when you watch the game, Ant-Man is so strong and big. He's getting his way with him.
Yeah.
Then when you switch it, they try to put Aaron Gordon on him.
Too slow.
He's too slow.
Yep.
So the game plan they got is working. And the coach is hurt. Imagine when the coach is healthy, though. They going to the finals.
You just cooked. The Nuggets got to panic. Nuggets got to panic. I believe that the T-Wolves are everything the Nuggets are, but they're hungrier.
So he is hungry.
They got the talent. They got the coaching. They got the physique from the different athletes, but they're a lot hungrier. I remember this quote because I had to live by this quote. Joy Slick, I had to live by this quote. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I was never the most talented athlete, so I was always like, okay, as long as I outwork more talented athletes, I'll beat them. What my coaches forgot to tell me was that when talent does work hard, you're effed. And that's what the Nuggets are witnessing firsthand versus the T-Wolves. Yeah, hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard, but what happens when you're talented and hardworking? Mm. Every single one of the Nuggets players, they work like they're the 15th man on the team. They work like they're the last man off the bench. Usually that hardworking position is reserved for Matthew Dellavedova. It's reserved for J.J. Barea. It's not reserved for the Ant-Mans. It's not reserved for the Cats. It's not reserved for the McDaniels, but all of these T-Wolves players are out there working, and they're incredibly talented. To me, that's why this series isn't yet necessarily a wrap, but it's definitely time for the Nuggets to panic because the T-Wolves are trendsetters. I saw a Kevin Garnett tweet, and he said, are the T-Wolves the defensive equivalent to the Golden State Warriors offense in 2015, 2014, 2016? I thought to myself, they are. In an era of basketball where superstars are praised from 11, 12, 13, the AAU circuit, and then as we all know, you go to D1 and you don't have to work as hard because you're a superstar. But these T-Wolves is different, man. They hungry. Like, they really, really played a game as though they were never stars. Like, they were all two-star recruits, even though they five-star talents. To me, that's why, Joy, the Nuggets have to panic because them hungry dogs out there running faster.
They are, and now they're going on the road. So,
you mean they go home?
No. The Nuggets are going on the road.
Oh, yeah.
You just lost two at home.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now you're going on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So you needed to get one of these, and obviously it wasn't going to be last night. So it really is looking like Game One was the one that you needed to take, because now you're going to their house where they're more comfortable, where their fans are going to be on their side. It's going to be a whole different environment. I think they come back to Denver down 3-1. I'm going to give them the respect that they are the defending champs, that they won't get swept. How good I feel about it, but I'm going to do that. The defense has been remarkable, and it's glaring because of what you said. This is such an offensive league. We pay so much attention to the three ball, to all this spectacular scoring, and teams are built just on scoring alone. It's almost like defense is an afterthought. Being a two-way player is like it'd be great to have a two-way player, but we'd rather have a scorer. The way that they're built, and because we're focusing so much on the defense, we're actually not giving a lot of credit to how great and skilled they are offensively as well. This is just a really solid physical team. They want it more than the Nuggets. And this is a different series. You can't do this get behind thing early and come back on a team that is young,
playing defense,
aggressive, playing defense. That doesn't work. These are not the same defenders you just faced. This is not the game that you can play with them. And you did it twice. You're not going to be able to shoot your way out of it, especially if Jamal Murray is playing the way that he's playing. It's just not possible. So they're being outmatched.
Yep.
And last night was hard to watch, honestly. I mean, I'm sure if you're a Timberwolves fan, you love it. Mm. If you're excited about what they're doing, of course. But it's weird. It's very clunky. The offense is not running smoothly. Jamal Murray is not playing up to his level. It just feels like the Nuggets are being completely outclassed.
Which is why it's time for them to stop panicking. This is time for them to show their championship timber. Because they didn't show it in Game 2. Like, they weren't champions. They got handed to them early, and they came apart. Jamal Murray's upset. Mike Malone's upset. Everybody's squawking at the referees.
Yeah.
Like, championship teams don't react that way to difficult situations. They need to lock up and say, yeah, you know what? We are. We're going on the road. We're down 2-0. Let us show how and why we are the defending champions. And let's maintain our composure and go in there and not expect that the whistle, that we're going to get a good whistle or a fair whistle, and it's not going to matter. The thing that has bothered me, and I gave them an out in the Lakers series, because I thought, man, they're not playing anything like the Nuggets of last year. And I thought, you know what? It's boredom. They've beaten this team umpteen times in a row.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? We don't have to play hard the first three quarters. Oh, we do that. We need to play like hard for a half a quarter and we can win. And they win the first three games of the series doing exactly that. And then they lose Game 4. They gave one away. And I'm like, okay, now you're going home. Now you got to let everybody, you got to remind everybody just what you're capable of. And they didn't. Like, they didn't play any better in Game 5. They closed it out, but that was still a close game. And a lot of unforced errors. And a Denver Nuggets team that just doesn't look doesn't resemble the one that I saw last year.
Slick, let me ask you a question, man. The Nuggets seem full to me, proverbially speaking. Like, they seem like a team that won a championship and is kind of resting on their laurels. I know you referee a lot of games. Yeah. It reminds me of back when I was in high school and I would stay after to watch different tournaments and, like, the suburban kids playing the inner city cats. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it was like the suburban kids was looking for the foul calls and they was looking at the refs. And it was just like, bro, y'all better go out there and scrap.
Yeah.
Like, y'all better go out there and scrap. I'm looking at Jamal Murray. He's whining, begging for foul calls. Yeah. Aaron Gordon begging for foul calls. Meanwhile, Ant-Man's sitting there looking at the crowd like, and?
Yeah.
Like, Jamal Murray's getting upset, throwing stuff at the court. Mike Malone running on the court, yelling at refs. It's like, bro, y'all better go out there and scrap. Like, the T-Wolves aren't playing with y'all. That's what I feel like I'm witnessing. One team that's hungry, one team that's full.
Yeah, well, and there is some of that. And maybe it's mental and physical fatigue. Well, I don't know if it's whether being full or simply, like, you had to scrap all year long with the relatively young Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder shooting for that number one seed. And I felt like they've measured all year long in terms of how much energy do we have to expend? Because we're trying to win it all. We're trying to go back to the playoffs. We're trying to win 16 games. Like, we don't want to spend too much of our energy too early, right? I thought that's what was guiding this. But I haven't seen, like, I figured I'd see that energy in game 5 and I didn't see it. And I expected I'd see that energy in game 2 and I haven't seen it. And it's a lack of aggression. Like, the reason that Nikola Jokic was my MVP this year at the top of my ballot for the first time this year was because when they put a guy like Naz Reid on him this season, he put that guy underneath the rim. Like, I'm not waiting for the double team and I'm going to flip it around. It's like, no, I'm going to put you in the basket. He didn't do that in this game. And without that, then they've got problems.
I just think that, like, they are the defending champs. And we, us included, and the rest of the league, we could look at them like that. So we give them that grace period, like, oh, this is the best team in the league. This and that third. The Wolves don't think so, right? And the funny thing is, they are playing with so much confidence. Like, they believe it already. Like, no, we them guys, right? There's no back down. If you talk about the refs, the reason why they're talking to the refs is because they're getting the hell beat out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally.
Yeah.
We can't score on these boys. Look at Jamal Murray. He's going from pick to pick with Jokic, one of the best screeners in the league. Can't get free. Can't get open.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. has been shooting the lights out every series we've seen, every game we've seen. Now you got some length, got some size. The guy's more athletic. You can't do it. Aaron Gordon, though. Well, now you got a 7-footer guarding you.
Yeah.
Cat. So when you just look at the matchups, I hear what we're saying is about this team so good. They beat him match-wise, right?
Yeah.
Player for player, right? Especially on defense. And then our 7-footer didn't even play this game. What happens when Rudy comes back? It's going to get worse.
But you would expect that their execution would be better.
It'd be higher.
The matchup, the one-on-one matchups, I understand that. But our ability to execute, our moving the ball and moving players, and then opening up Minnesota. Like, I haven't seen that from Denver.
When you're tired and you're getting pushed around and you have defensive players on you, it's different it's different getting guarded by Austin Reeves and getting guarded by Ant.
Fair.
Like, this is a different level here of physicality that the Timberwolves are bringing. So they're tired, clearly, because the Timberwolves are hungry and they're playing with more energy.
Yeah.
So they're tired and they're mentally falling apart. That was a mental game last night. Like, it was physical, but once it started slipping away from them and the way that they were behaving, it was very obvious that they were not locked in.
But I would expect more from the defending champions in game 2 of the second round than this is when we're going to fall apart.
I hear you.
No one would have said that the Timberwolves would be up 2-0 on them right now.
The fight out of them. Right, Jokic? I'm just dominating. Who you dominate? Yeah. We want you too. Think about it. They ain't backing down. Most teams, they back down. The Lakers, they beat them all the whole game. And they slowly let them come back and win, right? Can't do that to this team.
Yeah.
They want it more.
Yeah. Well, from the NBA to the NFL, the Cowboys, they seem extremely confident in Dak Prescott. Stephen Jones, vice president of the team, he simply says, yo, we got faith that we can win a Super Bowl with Dak. But are we being lied to, family? Are you being lied to at home? Come back for that conversation. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM. Can't wait for that combo.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Dak Prescott is set to enter the season in the final year of his contract, which leads family to major speculation about his future with the Cowboys. But executive Stephen Jones said, quote, I totally think Dak can lead us to a championship, adding it's a priority to get a new contract done. Dave Hellman, Cowboys former beat reporter, current NFL knows everything about everything there is
I'm
to know.
I'm going
to
get guys. That. That's my title from
NFL
now on.
NFL on Fox Podcast.
No, no, Jerry Jones, great.
I feel like that doesn't do you enough justice, though, dude.
Yeah, but we need listeners. So, yeah, like, NFL on Fox Podcast. Let's
dude,
go.
Literally, I call Dave just to talk about football when I'm bored. Dave, I want to start with you because you were there when Dak Prescott got drafted again. You and I actually both worked for the Cowboys in Frisco when that happened. So you've been following this storyline for nearly a decade. Are you buying the Cowboys' confidence at this junction in time in Dak Prescott?
I don't buy anything the Cowboys say about almost anything at this point. No, and what reason do I have? I heard we were going to talk about this, and I saw Stephen Jones' comments. I believe they were made yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a quick Google search, and, like, just within the last 6 months, I can find a version of this quote, like, three different times. Jerry Jones said this in March. Jerry Jones said it in December. Cool. And for his part, Dak Prescott always says the right thing, too. Actions speak a lot louder than words, don't they? And as of right now, we know Dak Prescott remains unsigned. We know that the Cowboys have known that this needed to get done for at least 15 months. I remember the day after they lost that Niners game, you know, 19-12, Dak throws two picks. Zeke has that play where he plays center for some reason. The day after that, I was like, it'd probably be smart to sign Dak if you want him to be your quarterback, because I knew this day was coming. How did the Cowboys not know? How does it, if they want him as their quarterback, and if you don't, that's fine. That's a different conversation. But if you want him as your quarterback, how does this go on?
So what you're saying is the Cowboys clearly don't want Dak as a quarterback because they've let this day come.
Honestly,
is that what you're reading into this?
The one quote from the Dallas Cowboys that carries weight for me is the way that they do their negotiations. They like to say deadlines make deals. And they live by that, and it bears that out. Every major contract with a guy that's at the top of his game goes until some sort of deadline, whether it's very real or very arbitrary. I set an arbitrary deadline of training camp. And we'll know when we get to September whether the Cowboys are serious about this, because they know that deadlines make deals. They know that Dak can't be tagged after the season is over. So if they want him and they don't want to compete against the rest of the league, it's got to be done. It's got to be done by the time they break training camp. That's when we'll know everything about all of this. Everything until then is just filler. I don't take anything they say seriously at all.
Just filler. Joy Taylor, you weigh in on that. You buying the Cowboys' confidence in Dak?
No, I'm not. I'm not. You know I love a relationship analogy.
They are fun.
Let me derail us with one.
Let's go.
They want husband energy, but they're giving situationship vibes.
Yes.
What situationship?
Situationship. Yeah,
what does that, I said, what does that mean? What does that
it
mean?
It means, like, I'm going to act like I'm your man and, like, do all these things, but when it's like, oh, what are we? Like, oh, we're just...
Dak's
just,
like, oh, well, what are we? And they're like, oh,
we're hanging out. Like, we're having a good time.
We're having fun.
Yeah, they're just like, why are we going to play
summer's about to start.
You
come
know,
on.
It's going to be hot outside. Yeah. You know, I have to, like, I have some trips coming up. You don't want to make anything too complicated, you know?
Why are we talking about this before the summer?
What did I do to give you the idea that, again, this is... Not my problem, but what I hear about it. Actions speak louder than words. You're saying that you want, he's your guy, in some quotes, Dak can lead us to a championship. But then you haven't signed him. All the reports are that they're not really working through anything. I'm confused. Are you confused? Because I'm confused. I don't know what their plan is. Do you want Dak Prescott as your future? If you want Dak Prescott as your future, why would you not be getting a deal done? Why wouldn't you already have been trying to get a deal done? As we know, the price only goes up. It's always going up. So the sooner that you do this, the less it costs. We can't be the only ones that know this. I'm sure the Cowboys know this.
I can't
be giving the Cowboys new information.
You would think.
I don't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. As I do with everything, until it's signed on the dotted line, it's not in the bank account. That's just not how it works.
Sure. Shady, where are you standing on the situationship, big dog?
Big situationship guy?
Great word for it.
Well, you know, I like to just be professional. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
I'm your man. I'm your man. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
Hello. I'm going to say, no, I'm not buying it. I don't think they want him, to be honest. I mean, you'd have been did it. I mean, I think of guys that even have the type of, I guess, success that Dak has had lately, right? Look at the Kyler Murray's. It was up for him to get a deal, right? I mean, you gave a little pushback, but eventually they got it done. Baker Mayfield, I mean, I can't even believe they got a deal done, but they got it done, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see that he's optimistic about getting it done. I mean, and Justin Herbert, the things he's done in this league, right, from stats-wise, not success in the playoffs, but winning, they got a deal done. Joe Burrow, injury, no injury, we won't get this deal done. Jalen Hurts, not knowing how good he really is, right? He did well in the Super Bowl, right, to get there, but we got the deal done. Lamar Jackson, yeah, it was a little push and tug, right? I might give you this offer. You didn't like the offer. We waited a little bit, went to the season. Okay, look, let's get this deal done. So all these other quarterbacks that we talking about, right, that I'm going to say Dak Prescott, maybe he's not better, but he's still in the same room, right? I've been with players that probably not better than me, but they are good in their own respect. He's one of them guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming off his best year. What, second in MVP voting?
Yep.
And you telling me that, yo, we're not getting a deal done right now, but eventually we're going to get it done? No, I don't believe that. Because I've seen other quarterbacks that are younger, that wasn't as proven, that hasn't did as much that Dak has did for his Cowboys, and they got contracts. So if you ask me, am I confident? No, I don't think they're trying to get a deal done with him. I think they're just playing this, prolonging it, playing the game, you know, to make sure everybody just feels cool in Dallas, right, the fans and all that. Because let's keep it real for a second, right? Every Cowboy fan that I ever spoke to in life, dudes I know or don't know, I say, look, man, name me one position. This one position that's holding y'all back from success. You know what they all say? If they don't say the ownership of Jerry Jones, because some of them say that, the next one they say,
what they say
is who?
Dave Hellman.
Quarterback, I'm sure.
Because you feel it's who. So my thing is, if the fans can see it, you know the owner can see it.
I love how Shady is doing, like, scientific research on
it. Yeah, he's just polling the largest fan base in the NFL.
They all say the same thing.
No, I hear you. I've been with Shady
been
when Shady asked the question. So
you
not wrong
like,
on
like
that.
The Moses in the man.
Moses.
You know I like to talk about the Bible.
Witnesses to Moses?
He might be talking about Aaron.
I don't know. Aaron was Moses' main man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But Moses was the biggest witness. Like, everybody, you know, when we talk about the Bible, Moses is like the first name we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
He's up there.
He's in the Mount Rushmore. He's like Kareem, but NBA. This is the analogy that took it. This is the analogy. I got to go Paul, obviously.
Oh, Paul was his favorite.
I don't know. King David.
Let's go with David.
He's up there.
Because David was famous.
Okay.
He was famous.
Back on track, because Dak Prescott's famous, too. Dave, I don't think, though, that the Cowboys are making the wrong decision. And as somebody who watches the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, maybe not as fervently as you do, but definitely a lot. I don't think they're making the wrong decision, because to exhaust Joy's relationship analogy, it's better you wait to commit than you commit and instantly realize you made the wrong decision.
Ooh.
Because divorce as it pertains to real life or the quarterback position is not easy.
Or cheap.
So divorcing Dak Prescott, it ain't going to be easy. And like Joy said, it's not going to be cheap. I don't think it's the wrong decision, because Dave, I would do it middle of the season. If it's going to get funky, let's see what type of time we're on. Are we 5-0? Are we 6-0? Are we 3-3? Are we 8-1? Like, let's do it in the middle of the season. The same motivation that Dak has in the middle of the season is the same motivation that Dak would have during training camp. Because at this point, getting Dak to sign a long-term deal would be based upon fear-mongering and a fear tactic. But what if you get hurt? But what if you get hurt? That's the only leverage the Cowboys have is, but what if you get hurt? If you can scare Dak into signing a deal, he signs a deal. Because otherwise, if you're Dak, bro, hit free agency. Cowboys aren't paying you top of the market. They've never paid you top of the market until they had to after two tags.
Let's get one thing straight. They're not scaring Dak Prescott into anything on any timeline at any time, because Dak already knows that he can own them in a negotiation. I bring it up every time I come on, so I'll keep it brief. But the worst thing that could have possibly happened to him the last time he was in this situation did happen. He broke his leg. He dislocated his ankle. People were worried about how well he would play after the injury, and he still won it to a crazy degree.
At context.
What context am I missing?
The context you're missing is the Cowboys sucked without him. Andy Dalton took over. I believe the Cowboys won 5 games that year, either 6-10 or 5-11. 6-10. They sucked without him at context.
Okay.
Because Tony Romo got hurt and he got replaced because Dak Prescott went 13-3. So let Dak Prescott get hurt and not the backup, but let Trey Lance at context, Dave.
Still doesn't matter, and I'll tell you why. Because again, and Dak, once the season starts, Dak ain't signing anything. Mm. If you're getting a deal done, I wish, Todd France, if you want to call me and talk about this, I'm going based on what I think. But if you want to let me know, please. If you want to sign a deal with Dak during training camp and say, hey, look, we're sorry this took as long as it did, but you are our guy. You're homegrown. We value you. Let's keep this thing going and continue building around you. And if the number was right, I think you would do it. But once you get to the season,
yeah,
he's like, you're not trading me. Mm-hmm. You're not tagging me. And as soon as March whatever arrives, at least six teams are going to throw me the bag. And that has nothing to do with how well Trey Lance or Cooper Rush plays, even if Dak were to get hurt, because there's going to be at least a few teams that are desperate for quarterback
play. But then why sign if I'm with you? If you're not going to sign during the season, for the same logic, I too wouldn't sign before the season.
If they come to him with the right deal.
If yes. the numbers right.
Numbers, of course.
Dak, I mean, look, this stuff still matters. Dak, he was drafted by this team. The relationships speak for themselves. When you've been around ownership for a decade, when you've got roots in the Dallas area, his family is there. He grew up a Cowboys fan. By the way. Can you let me finish?
Okay.
On top of that, let's be real. Regardless of how good they are as a team, the Dallas Cowboys earning potential for their starting quarterback in terms of endorsements, in terms of visibility, all that stuff still matters. If the Cowboys come to him with a deal that's not insulting before the season, I think he would sign it. And I think all of those reasons factor into why.
Unless you finish. Can I go?
Yeah, sure.
In what world does the NFL care about all that you just talked about? Like if... Where you from and all this?
No, I don't think he's saying that the Cowboys care about that.
The Cowboys don't give a damn about that. I'm saying Dak probably cares about that.
Oh, okay. All right, but I won't even address this.
If faced with the choice of, hey, my hometown team that I've been with forever made me the right offer and I can just keep it rolling, or I have to uproot my life and move across the country, I mean, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't want to make this a soap opera situation. I'll just ask you this for a second. So once they signed Dak, you said the worst thing happened, he got injured, and they paid him after that, right?
Right.
That's more evidence of who he really is. So once they paid him, we've seen, four more years of his play, right?
Yeah.
Good regular season, no luck in the playoffs, right? Good regular season. We keep saying it. So now we're at the same point again. You know what? Let's fast forward it. We're here again. It's like, do we pay this dude and get the same results we've been getting? And if you don't believe it, just look at the evidence. We've seen Dak do this.
Yeah.
Why would I pay him to get the same thing? That's my thing. So when you was saying, giving this whole speech about
it was a good speech.
He's going for the presidency and he wants to, I get all that. But my thing is like, yo, once we pay, if we do pay you, what are we going to get? Because we watched it for four years.
I don't know what they believe.
Man, listen.
Who knows what they're talking about. But in theory, they believe that Dak puts them in the best position to win a championship.
I just disagree. I think if they thought
I'm
that,
not saying I think
no, no,
that.
No, no, no. But I'm saying if that was true, then they would have gave him some type of offer. Because when you look at it, he said 8 years for the Cowboys, correct?
Yeah.
In
yeah.
8 years, you gave his two playoff wins?
Here's the other crazy thing at that two? Point. Yeah, I think it's 2-4. The other crazy thing is, Dave, from what I recall, because I was there during the Romo days, Romo ain't have to, like, figuratively speaking, beg for his bread like this. Like,
you know,
like, let's not get it twisted. Like, Romo never had – Romo wasn't in these type of situations ever.
Such a good guy, please. I'm from here.
2-5 in the playoffs.
I love you guys.
I got to go to break, Dave. Nah. I got to go to break. I'm going to talk about a guy you like when we come back to it. All right, when we return, family, Joe Burrow is back at practice, and he is throwing for the first time since he had surgery on that wrist. He's a superstar, top three quarterback in football by my summation and estimation. But does he have anything to prove this season? Cool Joe is back on the field, but what is at stake? Let's talk about it. That's next on
Spring. I love this team, Jerry. Please save me.
Come on, Dave.
Now, work for it.
Family, we got to talk about Cool Joe. He's back on the field, and he is throwing for the first time in a mighty long time. Remember last year, he only played 11 games, and then that injury occurred. He missed the final seven of the season. He said earlier today, quote, that the wrist has good days and it has bad days. Well, Joe Burrow, that's really the summation of his career. Dave, I think a lot is at stake for Joe Burrow this season. I believe Joe Burrow is the second-best quarterback in the National Football League. Second, I believe only Patrick Mahomes is better. Josh Allen fans, I hear you loud and clear. Lamar Jackson fans, I hear you loud and clear. I believe Joe Burrow is better than everybody not named Patrick Mahomes. But where I am at, Dave Helman, with Joe Burrow is it's feast or famine. Joe Burrow is just as likely to finish the season injured as he is to finish the season in the AFC Championship game. It is either an A grade or he doesn't even attend the class. So where I'm at with Joe Burrow now is you have to show up and you have to play the whole season and you got to go back to where you are whenever you're healthy. To me, he has a lot to prove because you can't be a top two player in football or an absentee. at least be present. The best ability is availability. So, Dave, Joe Burrow's great. There's nobody that I think is greater not named Patrick Mahomes. He truly, 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 truly is great. But when I think about the fact that he's missed 13 games in four seasons, he's nearly missed a season in four seasons, that has to matter. What's he got to prove to you?
I think this conversation, it reveals a fascinating idea of, like, perception versus reality, right? And I think the Cincinnati Bengals have a lot to prove. My answer is just, it's less about Joe Burrow. You and I disagree about this. It's about the Bengals and having a chance to capitalize on this window where they have all of this talent before it changes. But it is interesting. We talked about this in our pre-production meeting. Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa have missed a very similar amount of time over their careers. But I don't, and I think a lot of people don't, view Joe as an injury-prone player. He tore up his knee as a rookie in a forgotten Bengals season. Ja'Marr Chase wasn't there yet. That team was not serious. Since the Bengals have become serious, he missed the second or the last third of last season with a wrist injury. We'll see how he responds. I'm not worried about it. And, Joey, I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think you are either. Like, I'm not worried about Joe being healthy. I'm worried about the Bengals capitalizing on a year where T. Higgins is in the last year of his contract. I'm worried about a year the Bengals capitalizing when, again, Ja'Marr Chase, he's eligible for a contract extension. You better believe that contract is going to start with a three. The Bengals are about to find out how hard it is to surround a quarterback like Joe with talent. And, I mean, to prove my point, if we could bring it up, the Bengals need to capitalize because this is their future. Joe Burrow is costing them $29.7 million this year. That number starts to balloon after this season. Can you afford to keep T? Probably not. How big is Jamar's contract going to be? Probably very big. Trey Hendrickson has already expressed dissatisfaction with his contract. This could be the Bengals' last best chance before they have to proverbially take that step back. We've talked about this with the Bills. Look at Buffalo right now and say, ooh, Josh Allen's got to do a lot with a little, doesn't he? That's the future that could be facing the Cincinnati Bengals. So this is a huge year for Joe Burrow because it could be his last really, really good chance before the financial realities of the NFL set in. Me personally, I'm not worried about his longevity or his durability. He fought through a calf injury at the beginning of last year, which you could say it's
that
bad. But he played through it.
Yeah,
he
didn't, but not well.
Sure, but he was there. He gutted through it and he got back on track. I'm not worried about Joe's durability. I'm worried about the financial realities of what's facing the Bengals if they don't get over the hump soon.
Well said.
Yeah, I don't think he has anything to prove. Who else has given Patrick Mahomes smoke?
I mean,
It's one name. It's Joe Burrow. No one else. There's nobody else that's giving him problems. So the drop-off for me would have to be substantial. Now, if he's injured for a certain amount of games again this year and affects their postseason success and whatever, then I'm willing to have that conversation because he has missed some time. But as far as what he has to prove to me, when he's healthy, they're in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So when we have the health conversation and a player is habitually hurt, the question becomes, what's it worth for the highs? Mm. Okay, well, the highs are the AFC Championship game, Super Bowl.
And the Super Bowl,
And the lows are you miss some games you have and the year is off. So I would take that. I would take the highs and a year off over mid forever. Like, that is an exchange I'm willing to make. So when it comes to Joe Burrow, I know what he's capable of, not just as a quarterback, but them as a team have been able to give the current dynasty problems. They're the only ones who have been able to do that. That is significant to me. So I'm with Dave. I do think that any team that pays their quarterback eventually runs into the wall of how do we keep everyone here? How do we maneuver this money? How are we able to keep the great pieces that we put around him there to help him have success? Because as we know, no matter how good you are, this is still a team game. And unless you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, it's going to be really hard to continue to replace these incredibly great players. So I don't think he has anything to prove this year. If he's healthy all season long, I think they're going to have a great year. And to me, his highs are too high to worry that much about his lows.
Where you at, 2-5?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not worried about what he has to prove this season. I know how good he is. When he's healthy, you know he's going to deliver. She talked about it, AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. That's what he does. And I still think he's a top three quarterback. A lot of these other guys is kind of injury prone, like a Tua. I think a Tua is good, but like for you to be hurt that much, you're not that good, right? And I look at, oh, because I know he likes Tua. He gave me that
no, but I'm saying, be careful.
I think Tua is good, but I just when I look at the difference between Joe Burrow and him, is like Joe Burrow is that good. He's that much better where I'm okay with taking that risk from the injuries that he's had. Right. And then and once he bounces back, it's always a good season after he comes back from injury. So I'm betting on Joe Burrow. I think he has a phenomenal year. I think hopefully this will be, well, not hopefully, but depending on what happens with Higgins, right? He's going to need him. But Joe's that good where if Jamar's number one, he could find a young draft pick to take over that second role.
Yeah. The question, though, for you, left side of the table, because, Joy, I know you preach oftentimes, you're big on consistency. Consistency, consistency, consistency. Don't show up one day and don't show up the other. Joe Burrow isn't consistent because what you said, Joy, what Shady both said is when he's out there, if he's out there, these are big contingencies, when and if. He missed six or seven games this past season. Obviously, he missed six or seven games his rookie season. So given the fact that at this table we're big on consistency and I am big on consistency, I'm big on availability, how are we overlooking it? I know the highs are high, but objectively speaking, he's not present often enough.
Well,
comparatively.
I'm sort of with Dave. Like, we know what happened the first year. Like, he did get hurt, but we know why he got hurt. We know what was going on with that team. So, yes, he did get hurt. Yes, he missed the final six games of the season, got hurt in week 11. Certainly got hurt in week 11. His wrist got hurt in week 11 this year. So, essentially, at the end of the season for 2 years, he hasn't been available. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on consistency, but when he is available, his highs are way better than people who are constantly available. Like, we have to balance it here. Like, we've got to apply some reason. Yes, would we all have preferred that Joe Burrow be healthy all season long last year? Yes. Do we always want our best available to play and be out there? Of course. You want to be able to count on this position particularly, especially when you've already paid them. I hear all of those things. But if you're telling me here, you can have this player that's always available, you're going to, you know, maybe make the playoffs and lose in week one. And,
right.
You know, like, you're going to win some regular season games. Or you can have this player who's spectacular and he's going to miss some games. But when he is available, you're going to be in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. I'll take the latter every time. How could you not? Because you could be available and miss the playoffs. You could be available and have a mm-hmm. mid-level season.
I guess if you're Joe, the conversation for me with Joe is if you're that good, the only way to stay atop the mountain is to keep fighting.
Sure.
It's to keep fighting. Dave, you brought up the graphic of, you know, they've got the four-year window. You can't afford to miss another year of that window due to injury.
If he gets hurt this year, then this conversation changes, and I will agree with you. And you're not going to like this because I don't have anything to back me up. I don't care about the rookie year injury. Remember, that was a team that was so bad that we spent the year debating if Joe should even let them draft him. That was a real thing.
But that's biased, Dave.
It's
biased to me because I don't care about this injury because the O-line, you know how many bad O-lines there are, particularly for rookies? You know how bad Justin Fields' O-line was?
The reason that he got hurt was his fault, his rookie year?
I'm saying when you get hurt, we don't say whose fault it is.
Yeah.
Like, we're not like, hey, it wasn't your fault, though, big dog. Like, these aren't real conversations.
What about this, since we don't want to pay attention to the fact that he had no offensive line whatsoever. And people were saying he should not go there because of exactly what happened. And in fact, when he did get hurt, everyone was like, see, that's why he shouldn't have gone.
I'm saying I've never engaged in that dialogue.
Okay, well, lots of other people did. I did.
It was a real conversation.
Let me tell you like this. That's not a conversation that, like, in training rooms, hey, big dog, it wasn't your fault, man. You know what I'm saying? You had a bad O-line.
Bro, I mean, I'm a bit funny, but, like, come on. Like, he got hurt because his line was bad. Like,
that's not, I'm just saying that's not a real dialogue.
I think he got sacked a record number of times.
He also, like, he got, like, sandwiched on top of a guy by another guy. Like, he got demolished.
I'm not saying y'all are wrong.
Okay, so let's say it's not his fault.
I've never heard nobody.
Okay, I'm telling you, just trust me on this one. Okay. Trust me. And I could be wrong about the sacks, but Andy, let me know. Let's just call it his rookie year. Do we do that?
Like, throwing out his rookie season?
Yeah.
I can't do it, but I see how you want to. Like, it's just not something you can really do.
So you think that Joe Burrow is injury prone?
Yes. Objectively speaking, he's injury prone. He's missed the same amount. He started the same amount of games as Tua, and Tua's injury prone. So we don't count. You know how bad Tua's teams were. Like, you know how bad Tua's situation were. His coaching was bad. He didn't have much receiver help. His line was bad. His O-line coach was out there, like, snorting coke. Tua's whole situation was bad. But we don't say, well, you know what, Tua, that's a Tua, 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 Tua. No, he got hurt. He'd be hurt.
Why
He's hurt.
Are we talking
He's
about
hurt.
Tua?
Yeah, also,
Joe Burrow has been to
achieved.
A Super Bowl and an AFC Championship game, and he beat Patrick Mahomes to do that. Why are we talking about Tua? We don't need to talk about Tua.
I'm only talking about injuries. Now, if y'all are saying that he is injury prone, but it's worth it because when he's available, it's that good. That's more accurate.
Of course, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, that's more accurate than to say he's just not injury prone.
I don't think he's injury prone. I think, regardless of how who you want to blame for it, I think it was a very understandable thing that happened to him. And what did the Bengals do when they realized who he was and what he was capable of? They've been throwing talent at that offense ever since.
And what did he go into last year with? A calf. That he did on the first day of training camp.
He didn't miss
it. Okay, so I guess my question is, what is it that he needs to prove this year? He needs to stay healthy for a season? Because he's done that.
That's where I would be at. Like, you got to stay healthy and do what you've been doing. Like, to me, it's the same conversation we've had about other quarterbacks that are really talented, but they get hurt. It's like, stay healthy and ball. That's the only question I have.
But he's done that multiple times.
He has, but the same amount of times he's done it, he's done the opposite.
I hate to live up to my reputation and bring Dak back into it, but like, is Dak injury prone? Dak missed most of a season with his leg injury. He came back and hurt the calf.
Yep.
It hurt his 21 season. Is he injury prone?
Yes.
I don't think. Here's what it is, though, Dave.
Again, I don't think you get a second chance at a first impression. Dak's first impression was he's always healthy. Carson Wentz's first impression was he's always hurt. But if you looked at Wentz and Dak through their first 5 years, Dak ended up missing more games than Wentz. But Wentz is forever injury prone and Dak isn't. To me, of course, Dak was injury prone. Bruh, he missed 11 games with the leg, and then he came back and he did the thumb, and then he did the calf.
Is he injured, or just most people get injured in a violent collision sport?
100% probability.
1,000%. I'm living proof to it. But then when you look at the dudes like Jalen Hurts, who's missed, I think, 2 games. Like, when you look at Josh Allen, Josh don't miss no games. I think Pat's missed 4 games. I think you were there when Pat did it. I think it was a QB sneak. He messed up his knee. Pat missed 4 games. So when I look at the other quarterbacks who we put in those top 5, top 7 conversations.
Right, but who would you take right now? Would you take Joe. Josh Allen or would you take Joe? Would you take Jalen Hurts or would you take Joe?
I'm taking Josh Allen.
But you would put Joe maybe 3?
Yeah.
I'm taking Cool Joe. Yeah.
Real quick, one more.
So would you take Tua or would you take Joe?
Taking Joe.
I wouldn't take Tua.
How much further are we going to go?
I'm always taking Joe, but that's why, to me, this conversation I found fascinating, because, like, how much longer can I take Joe despite injury?
If Josh is getting hurt, would it be his fault, or would it be, like, how would that work?
Josh is a superhuman. I don't even know what to do with
Dave,
that.
Dave, last question.
We did all this with Lamar, too. Lamar missed chunks of 2 seasons.
Yep.
Is he really worth all that money if he can't stay on the field? And he won an MVP. If Joe gets hurt this year, I'll text you right away. Be like, you got me. All right? But I'm just not worried about it. And I don't think
I hope it doesn't happen.
It's justified. Yeah, absolutely.
Joe's a baller. And when he out there on the field. Okay, when we return, the Lakers, they need a new head coach again. I feel like we do this topic every 2 years. They fired Darvin Ham, and now they're on the hunt for a new coach. But family, is it a good job? Or is it fool's gold? Fool's gold to take it. That's next on Speak. Well, the Lakers fired head coach Darvin Ham a few days ago, but now the search is on for a replacement. Now, keep in mind, y'all, L.A. has had 6 head coaches since the departure of Phil Jackson 13 years ago. A report says LeBron James' opinion will be taken into consideration, along with Anthony Davis. So why are you laughing, Slick? Why are you laughing?
Is there any other opinion that counts? Like, it would be taken into consideration. We might ask him who he wants. But the list that we've seen is his wish list. What are we talking about? What are we talking about here?
J.J. Redick. Who else we seen on the list?
Jason Kidd.
He's got
Ty Lue. Yeah.
I seen that. Jason Kidd. Redick.
You know why he got signed? Because as soon as the Lakers thing leaked, everyone was like, oh, I guess, actually, we were going to keep our head coach.
I've seen that. The other, why everybody keep talking about Jason Kidd? He's doing phenomenal, right?
Slick, is the job a good job, though? Like, y'all at home, y'all need to pay attention to this one, because I'm very curious. Is the Lakers' job even a good head coaching gig?
Not at this point. I mean, being the head coach of the Lakers comes with a certain amount of prestige. But let's just take a look at who we've had of late. We had Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel won a championship, and 2 years later, he's gone. Darvin Ham comes in. We had Terry Stotts. I mean, we're not even getting the pick of the litter here. The last couple of guys that were interviewed the last time around was Darvin Ham, Kenny Atkinson, and Terry Stotts. Now, no offense to any of those gentlemen, but it's not like we're talking about the Phil Jacksons and the Greg Popoviches and the cream of the crop. It's understandably because The expectations remain the same for the Lakers, especially with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the roster, which is we're supposed to be playing for championships, right? That's where the goal is. Darvin Ham went to the Western Conference Finals last year. He made the playoffs this year, ran up against the defending champions. That wasn't good enough to keep the job, right? So I have high expectations. And then if I look at the Lakers and what they have, and even beyond, let's say Anthony Davis is as healthy as he was this year, which is roll the dice. LeBron James, is he going to be better next year than he was this year at 40? You hope he could be as good, okay? And then they have the fifth highest payroll in the league already for next year. They're $80 million over the cap. So there's no like cap room there. And meanwhile, I look at the rest of the Western Conference. Is Oklahoma City going anywhere?
Nope.
Is Minnesota going anywhere?
Nope.
Denver owns them, so let's keep them there. Sacramento. Sacramento owned them during the regular season. Memphis should be back with John Morant. San Antonio has $27 million in cap space and the best young player in the league, right? Houston should be better. Golden State, if they don't have the Draymond Green.
So what point are you making? That the Lakers won't be able to compete regardless of who the coach is?
I'm just saying how... If this year got Darvin Ham fired and you're coming back with the same team and the competition is only getting better, how am I going to exceed what was accomplished this year? That, to me, doesn't make it an attractive job.
What are we doing about the roster? What are we doing about the roster? Who's coaching? Who cares? What are we doing about the roster? This roster's not good enough. You can't get past the Nuggets. Beat them one time and what, 12 times? I don't know what we're talking about the coach for. What is he a miracle worker? He's going to turn water into wine? No. What are we doing about the roster? And you really can't do anything about the roster. Hire the person that LeBron James and Anthony Davis wants.
But that was Moses, right?
The water into wine was Jesus.
Red color, right action.
Big moments. Yes. None of those moments are happening to this roster or with this team, and the coach is not going to be able to do that. I do think this is a great job because it's still the Los Angeles Lakers. And no matter what you say, you'll always be able to put that on your resume. And that means something no matter where you go. Obviously, there are lots of other things that come with being the Lakers head coach. There are a lot of politics. There are a lot of behind the scenes things. It's not as simple as just being an NBA head coach. You have LeBron James. You have Anthony Davis. You have Los Angeles Lakers expectations, whether they're reasonable or not. So I get it. I can't say it's not a good head coaching job. I think for the right person, it could be a very great moment for their career. But as far as getting an Eric Spoelstra to come in here, Eric Spoelstra is not available. Ty Lue is not available. Jason Kidd is not available.
Yeah.
These guys are not available. Phil Jackson is not coming back. So as far as it being a good job, I can never say it's not a good job. But what are you doing about the roster?
Because that is what's way more important.
What are we talking about here, though? Are we asking him real quick? I just want to get this straight. Are we asking if the Lakers is a good job?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you was a coach, right, and you could pick anywhere to play at or to coach at.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Lakers will be top three. It's L.A. It's the Lakers.
I can pick anywhere?
Yeah.
Like they've cleared all the coaching jobs out?
Yes. You want to come for the Lakers?
Would you rather coach the Clippers or the Lakers?
Lakers. Lakers is the biggest brand.
Ty Lue says otherwise.
I don't care what Ty Lue said. I don't care what he said. I know this. When you talk about the big teams like Dallas Cowboys, like the Niners, the Steelers, you talk about the L.A. Lakers, you talk about the Boston Celtics, those are teams. What do you want to go take the Milwaukee Bucks over the Lakers? No. Hold up. They gave my man Ham, Tim Enos, not the coach. Yeah. So I'm going to take the money, and I'm going to take one of the biggest brands in basketball with the Lakers. Yes, I'm coaching for the Lakers. What are we talking about?
For Darvin Ham, coaching the Lakers the last 2 years, do you think that improved his stock?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think it hurt his stock. I think if he did the same job for the Kings, right? I don't think we wouldn't be talking about him. He coached for the Lakers. You know how big that is?
Yeah, but he'd still have his job.
I'll give you another situation.
That's the thing.
I mean, you can say that, but everybody keeps talking about the coach. What are you going to get? They're not going to find no more Phil Jackson. They're not going to find no more Spoelstra. They're not going to find no more Pops. Mm-hmm. They came from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
In Miami, Eric was the video guy, right? You didn't even talk.
He was, but he was also in the organization for a long time, and he has Pat Riley.
What I'm saying is that if they'd
I know players that seen him in the video room wouldn't say, yo, he's going to be one of the best coaches in basketball. They wouldn't have said that. Phil Jackson, right? Well, he came from somewhere.
Right.
Right? You talk about what's the godfather from Miami right now. What's his name?
Pat Riley.
Do we need to go back to his back record, his track record?
No, we don't. But
what I'm saying is, yo, there's a coach out there somewhere. There's a coach that's the third, fourth dude on the bench that we got to go out there and get.
They fired the whole of their assistants.
No, I'm not saying for Lakers. I'm saying in general.
Somewhere else.
When you go somewhere else and find a coach, there's somebody out there.
2-5, don't you think at least that's what they've been doing? Darvin Ham was that coach on the bench. I believe in Milwaukee, Andy, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Luke Walton, yes. I believe he was that coach on the bench up and coming with the Golden State Warriors. Like, they've gotten those coaches on the benches.
Yeah, keep shooting.
But where I'm at to some degree with Joy on this is, like, the Lakers don't give you enough leeway to keep shooting. Darvin Ham was there last year. Conference finals, lost to the Nuggets. They won the whole thing. This year, lost to the Nuggets. Nuggets don't look great to win the whole thing, but we can't count them out. And you fired them. Whereas if you coach somewhere with lower expectations, the Clippers, et cetera, man, Doc Rivers was in L.A. with the Clippers forever. And I don't even think he went to a Western Conference finals. Yeah. So, like, the expectations 2-5 are so high for the Lakers coach. You here today, you gone tomorrow.
Well, I'll say this, right? It depends what type of person you are, right? I'm a type of person. I'm that good. I'm going to take the risk, right? Yeah. I'm going to believe in myself. I'm going to take the risk. Because if I know, if I do well for the Lakers, I mean, his story is going to be crazy.
Of course.
Right? And there's some dudes that are okay with that. Well, you know what? I don't want that type of pressure culture for the Lakers, right? I'd rather go to the Milwaukee or the Atlanta Hawks, and I'll be safe there. I'm not that type of guy.
I don't look at it as pressure. I look at it as, am I being put in a position to succeed? And when I look at this roster versus what the expectation is, the expectation was even this year, in spite of having to fight their way into the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to play for a title. That's always the thinking, especially if you have LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis on the roster. Now, if I'm looking at that roster, I'm going, can I do more with this than Darvin Ham did with it? And if I can't, then I'm going to be out here and hurt.
I mean, I understand what Shady's saying. If you're an up-and-coming assistant, you're somebody who's coming up, of course you're going to take this job. And of course it's a great opportunity. For the right person, this is the best opportunity in the world. And you believe that you can go in there and make changes, whether we think that or not, or whether reality says something different. But so that's why I'm saying I can't say this is a bad job. For a top-level coach, of course this is not a good job. You wouldn't even consider it.
So is it a bad job, Joy, for a coach with options? Is that kind of what you're looking
for? It depends what your other options are. You're still coaching LeBron James. You're still going to have Bronny here. You still have Anthony Davis. You still are the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. So all of those things still matter. I'm not going to scoff at it like it's nothing. What makes this particular job difficult is, one, you will not be here very long. Two, you are held up by the roster, mm-hmm. which no one seems to be talking about, which is mind-blowing to me. This roster is not good enough.
But that's
I wasn't talking
about that.
Yeah, you were talking about it. But in general, the coach is one part of it. I don't think that Darvin Ham did a perfect job. He did not. Okay? He's certainly not above being criticized and perhaps even fired. But my question is, what else are you doing to put this particular team in position to have the expectations that it has outside of it being the Lakers and LeBron James?
So, because you gave us all the negative. Can we get some positive? Like, so if you do get the job, right? All the positive stuff does.
I said all the positive.
But I'm saying, let's say he does. Let's say the new coach comes in and does well for 2-3 years, right?
Like Frank Vogel.
A little bit better than that, because
he won a championship.
No, I know, but
in three years he won a championship.
You know what it was with him is, maybe because I so much from the Pacers watch him, I just wasn't a big fan. This is my opinion, right?
What more could you ask from someone about winning a championship?
This is why it's not a good job, because you not only have to be successful, it's the way you move.
I mean, but hold on. That's not how, like, people don't put a little star next to that championship, do they not?
But it was hard to do.
Do they not?
They do, but it might have been the hardest one.
So if he won that chip when it wasn't the bubble, right? It went in the bubble. You can't go out there and get no food, get your own fresh air. If it wasn't that, we probably look at him in a different light. Do you not agree?
I don't care.
Every time they talk about the Lakers championships and LeBron James,
they always hate to say something.
So LeBron doesn't have 4 championships?
Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you ask people about that chip in the bubble,
LeBron has 3.5 championships.
We just had a report from George Carl. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hell of a good coach.
He crazy on Twitter, though.
I don't follow him. He's older than I am, so I don't follow him on Twitter. But he did make a report. He's that big enough coach that everybody's seen it. And the first thing he said was, can we all stop acting like that championship in the bubble Was it the championship in the bubble?
Respectfully, I don't care. And no one's saying LeBron James has 3.5 championships.
I'm not saying.
So if you can win a championship and still get fired, that's what it is.
The chip outside the bubble might look
different. Corbin, you're doing this now. I should play the music. I mean, you didn't want to play the music. It's on you.
I'm taking
Lakers. When we return, the Lakers, they lost to the Nuggets, but the Nuggets, they're losing to the T-Wolves, y'all. It's not good for the Nuggets, even though it was so good just a week ago. Anyway, are the Nuggets more likely to get swept or win the series? They're down 0-2. I can't wait for this dialogue.
Decisions. What rapper says that? Was as good as we can go.
Is Ant-Man the next face of the NBA?
Anthony Edwards. Scouting his way into the paint. He's got it to go.
He wants all the smoke. He has that attitude.
He'll put up a three. Bullseye.
Like, Jordan, I ain't backing down.
He has a big personality. He's captivating to watch. He's fun.
No doubt about it, he can be the face of the league. Swagger, culture, style of play.
He has everything you need. You talk about dog and attitude. I don't think he has dog. He has Timberwolf in him.
He ain't got dog. He got T-Wolf in him. Shady, you should put that on a shirt, big dog. Start making money off of it. Not that you need it. Anyway, T-Wolves, they took a commanding 2-0 series lead in Minnesota. Shady, are the Nuggets more likely to get swept? Or are they more likely to
sweep,
win the series?
Sweep. I get swept. Why? Let's see, this is the problem now. Because they the Denver Nuggets, the defending champs. They get swept too. And if you don't believe me, watch. When I watch these teams play, even I don't care who's better, right? I don't care who's better. Because people will say Denver's better. So what? One team is playing better defense with more heart, more dog. We all want to keep talking about Anthony Edwards, right? Because he's a great player.
No doubt.
You see it, right? We're going to talk about our cat. Looks good now offensively. Can we talk about the defense? From head to toe, it don't matter who it is. Who's getting the ball? We switching on everything. And then you talk about Jaden McDaniels, what he's doing out there. He's locking up. To me, he should be MVP. Ant-Man said it, but he said, this kid can score. He said, but if we ask him to play straight defense, right, he's not getting a chance to shoot the ball at all. He's not getting a lot of options on offense. He's playing only defense. And he's not complaining. He's not caring. He's happy the same way scoring 30 points or scoring 0 points. But it's the attitude they have. They all young and they hungry. They want to win and they showing it.
Mm. Chance better hide out. Well, for the first time in a long time, Hacho. The Nuggets, they face adversity. But what's more likely, that they get swept or that they win the series? Flex on them, Ant-Man. Flex on them. When we return, we'll weigh in the other side of the table.
Man, get the trash bags. Get all that rat. Get the rat traps.
All right, family, we just brought it up. The Nuggets, they are down 0-2 in the series. So, Joy, what is most likely? Neither might happen, but what is most likely? That the Nuggets get swept or that they win the series?
Are we counting gentlemen sweeps?
No gentlemen sweeps. Straight 4-0s.
I can't disrespect the Nuggets to say that they will get swept. I don't think that they're going to get swept. I don't think they're going to come back and win either, but you're making me pick. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's more likely that they come back and win the series. I do not think that's going to happen, Timberwolves fans. I think it's going to be over in 5. I think it will be a gentleman's sweep because I don't think that they're going to go to Minnesota and win the next 2. I think they'll split, come back, and it will be over much.
Ooh, do you think they lose in Denver?
I think so,
because if it's
I like that.
Wow. I have to be calculated about this. I still think there's a chance that Denver could win the series. But if you're asking me which is more likely, I think it's more likely that they get swept, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Simply
of
because of what we've seen.
This is for my boy Slick. If you need it.
For the trap.
It's trash. If you need it.
What? You already called
I hope you.
You already called me a snitch on this show. So
yeah, you were
no,
sure.
You didn't say you were a snitch. You said you were a cop.
No. But it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
you were sure.
The same thing. He said I was going to call a cop on Jamal Murray.
Now you were showing some cop behavior.
Was he?
Yeah, was he not?
You tried to get somebody arrested?
I felt uncomfortable. You too.
Somebody snitched on Jamal Murray, so he might get suspended. Reggie Jackson went off hobbled.
I mean, who
They're
snitched?
Going to this
There's
next
a
game.
Camera. It's 4K.
But I'm saying, like, it's good. Like, it's good to call the cops, but not for everything.
Yeah.
I feel like y'all was trying to call cops for everything. Oh, look at suspending him because he threw something on the court. Like, let's just relax. Like, jaywalking is not the same thing as somebody breaking in and robbing
game's
your car.
Going on and we're throwing stuff on the court. Who cares? It's not a big deal.
You could find someone. You can find them.
You're taking the middle of the road here, which is not like you, Joy.
I got to be honest. I have to save my outrage. I don't have that much outrage in me today, and it can't be over towels.
Right.
I got to be honest.
Game 1, Mavs, Thunder, tonight. Who we like? What's Luka going to do? You know Luka always shows up in the big-time moments. But what about SGA? I can't wait to see
Kyrie
this.
Kyrie Irving? Did you forget him?
You're right.
We do got to start saying Luka and Hey, the street.
The Thunder host the Mavericks, and literally hours from now, it's 0-0. What's going to go down in this one? Starting with you, Slick Rick, what you think?
I'm expecting the Dallas Mavericks to get this one.
First one?
I'm expecting the Dallas Mavericks to win the series, to be honest with you. I think that Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving present a completely different challenge compared to what they saw in the previous series with Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum.
Where you at, Joy Taylor?
I think it's going to be a great series. I hope so. I want to see the Mavs. I think it feels like Luka's here. I think it's going to be a long series.
I'm going with the Mavs, right?
Long series.
Good amount of Luka, a lot of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Ball.
Put the ball in Kyrie Irving's hands. Let him work, man.
Let him cook. All right, family, that is it for us. Thank you for tuning in. You could be watching any show. You hung with us for 90 minutes. We don't take it for granted. We'll see you at the same time.
So Moses ain't the best dude in the Bible?